just bless that name of Jesus. Say it. Praise it. Worship Him. Jesus, we love you. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's no place I'd rather be on a Sunday morning than the house of God with my mind on Jesus Christ. I need this place. And I have to be honest with you, I need it every time the doors are open. Can't get enough. Average of 148 hours or so per week, and we minus at the most 5 hours in the house of God. You do the math on that, and we wonder why we have such a tug and why we have such a struggle. You know, the hours that we spend in the presence of God in this place together are priceless. I'm going to say it again, it is priceless, and nothing can replicate what we have here. I appreciate online, and I appreciate all the online things that are so obviously so available today. But there is nothing like being in the house of God. Those things are supplements. There is nothing like gathering together with God's wonderful people in the presence of the Lord. We need to draw upon the presence of God today and be more than spectators, but draw upon the presence of God. I am stirred in my spirit today, and I am going to be talking about some things of a very spiritual matter. And I'm going to, first of all, ask for every one of you, to all of our guests here, God bless you. It's been already said, we're glad that you're with us today. And to all of our new families, and God is so good. We love the Lord. But church is more than an event that we come to socialize. It's more than just something nice to do on Sundays. This is a spiritual well that we must draw upon from the Word of God to increase our faith. And I want to ask everyone in this place to close your eyes. And I want you to plead the blood of Jesus Christ over you. I want you to pray. If you've got the Holy Ghost, I need you to stir up the Holy Ghost this morning, because there is going to be a deep move of God in this place today. We need authority. We need more than patty cake religion. We need authority. And we need the power of God in this place right now and moving through us. Would you pray, Lord? We love you, Savior, and we magnify your name. We submit ourselves to you, God. We surrender our wills, our minds. And I pray in the name of Jesus that every man and woman under the sound of my voice will be changed and transformed by the power of your word today. Help us, God, to take a good look at our lives and our spiritual content. I pray in Jesus' name that we are where you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 19? The book of Acts chapter 19, verse number 11. Praise God. So many exciting things happening. Looking forward to hearing from Sister Kimberly Sisko, who author of an incredible experience and stories that she has as a pastor's wife, an evangelist wife, and she's going to highlight some things. And I believe that before the trumpets sound, we need to be about the Lord's business, and we need to be focused on what God wants us to do. And that is, in this hour, to reach a soul. And we're not going to move from that. And I know that beyond all of that, we must be in a place, in a position spiritually. I don't want to become like the children of Israel when they were traveling and finally came to the point where God wanted to be with the people. And they said, no, we don't want to go to God. You just go for us, Moses. Go get the report. Come back and tell us. We just want to sit here. We just want to do our duties. We're not going to, you know, do anything wrong. You just go get it for us, because God's kind of an awkward thing to us. And so the Bible says that they eventually had to send Moses to get the report because they were afraid of God. God became awkward to them. And I pray, God, that in this hour that we live, that as the body of Christ, God does not become an awkward thing. That when the Spirit of God begins to move and people are slain in the Spirit and the power of God delivers people and we see the blinded eyes open and men and women filled with the Holy Ghost, that we don't stand in a place of fear, but we stand in a place of expectancy, because that is the function of the church. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands and praise the Lord that you're a part of the body of Christ today. Amen. But we better have it. We better have the goods. There are some real devils in our world today that are approaching us in North America like we have never experienced before. And we as the church have better have the goods. Acts chapter 19, verse number 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, verse 12, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits, devils, evil spirits, went out of them. Of course, we've given them clinical names these days, but they are evil spirits. Verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. Nothing like that name. Saying, we adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? That's one conversation I pray I never have. Verse 16, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, while you're going there. How many believe that God has the final say? My little granddaughter's not in here, but she was singing the other day, who has the final say? She said, Chipotle has the final say. She kept on singing it. We got it on recording. It's just precious moments. Chipotle. I like Chipotle, don't get me wrong, but Jesus has the final say. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness. But denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. I don't know about you, but I'm done with spiritual pinatas. Paper mache religion. I want the goods. I want the power and the authority in my walk with God. I want something that's more than just a form, but has content. And the church in 2020, let me as your pastor convey to you this one thing, is that we have got to have the power. We can't just look good. We can't have good programs. We're more than mainstream religion. This is an apostolic church that you are in today. This is a Pentecostal church. We believe in one God, and we believe in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. We believe in the authority of his name and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, do I have a witness? You will speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Why don't you put your Bibles down and clap your hands and say something with spiritual authority in your voice? Declare it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm stirred in my spirit. God, help us to wake up. Amen. If you agree that Jesus has the final say, clap your hands one more time. Before you're seated, look at someone in the eye and ask them this question. Who are we? Who are we? Maybe seated. I just want to preach this morning. I'm just going to preach. Is that all right? And please don't misunderstand me today. Being stirred and fiery does not mean I'm mean and angry. And if I elevate my tone or my voice today, it's because I'm passionate about preaching what I'm talking about today. I believe that we as the church need to be reminded from time to time exactly who we are and what we have. Let me just declare a couple things this morning, because I recognize that there is a spiritual adversary that is even in this place today that would like to hinder and thwart and to somehow sidetrack what God would have us to receive and apply. So in the name of Jesus, no matter how much the devil hates it, and would love to destroy it, no matter who speaks against it, and no matter the problems it may have, the church is still powerful and victorious. And I need someone to declare that with me as a testimony. If you agree that the church is powerful, won't you participate with a praise? If you believe the church that you belong to is victorious, it's not some weak sidekick of some kind of religion, then put your hands together and praise God. Hallelujah. Powerful. It has to be powerful to deal with the fights, attacks, and struggles in this modern era that we live. This blood-bought church is still the most powerful entity on earth. I'm going to say it again. This blood-bought church is still the most powerful entity on earth. And as the church, we are hell's worst nightmare. Come on. And God did not call us to run on two pistons. He called us to run on all full eight pistons. We're not just making it through. We're not just living for God with a half a tank. God wants his church to be powerful. He wants the dunamis, the power and the authority to throw through the spiritual veins of the body of Christ. I know it's going to get hot right now, but we got to put our hands together because we're fighting some spirits right now. Some of you have brought some attacks of this week into the house of God. I'm here to tell you, you're powerful and you're victorious in Jesus' name. Clap your hands and shout, I'm powerful in Jesus' name. The church, the blood-bought church, is still the most powerful entity on earth. And that is why when the rapture takes place and this church is pulled out of here, that's when all of a sudden everything is going to come unraveled. Because we are the glue that's keeping this world together. I'm just going to say it again. Your prayers are what's keeping things at bay. Your prayers are what's keeping some things on the sidelines. You feel the press and you feel the pressure. You feel the attacks of the adversary because his will is to utterly destroy. But he can't do it because the church is still here. He can't fully implement his plan and his wicked, come on, his wicked agenda in the world because there's some woman still praying. There's some man still worshiping. There's somebody still proclaiming. And there's a church that's still interceding. Lift up your hands and say, I've got the power in Jesus' name. Got the power. The church and those that are in the body of Christ. Not just a building. But the church and those that are in the body of Christ still have the authority to use the name of Jesus. I want to ask you a question, and don't you respond. And it may get real quiet here in just a second. But how much authority do you have in the Spirit? Is your name known by hell? When you walk into a room, does the devils tremble? When you begin to pray, does sickness say, we've got to go? When you walk into the room and start declaring through the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, ask yourself, what is my level of authority? And if it's low on a scale of 1 to 10, we're below 5. Let me just say something. It's not God's fault. I said, it's not God's fault. God wants his church to be all powerful. He doesn't want us trying to limp our way through in awkward places with God's Spirit. I'm here to tell you, it ought to be as comfortable as your brother and sister sitting next to you. The Spirit of God moving in this place. Would you lift up your hands right now and say, God, fill me to capacity. I want to have that kind of authority. Come on, this is more for just the preachers. The New Testament church, it's cut out for more than just the evangelists and more than just the pastors and the teachers. And this power's for every single person in the body of Christ. We've got to have an epiphany. We've got to have a wake-up moment, a God moment that says, that's right, I have authority. I told my wife this morning I can't get away from it. God is trying to wake up sleeping giants in his church, this church. Not trying to make anything spooky happen or anything God is trying to wake us up to get to our full potential in the spiritual realm, because it's what's going to be needed in this hour that we live. The church, aren't you thankful for the name of Jesus Christ? We still have the authority to use the name of Jesus Christ. Let me just for the record say on our resume, people are still being filled with the Holy Ghost in this powerful church. The greatest miracle of all is when someone receives the Holy Ghost. Anybody agree? All manner of diseases are being lifted from people through the name of Jesus Christ. Just this last month alone, some people have told me that tumors have disappeared from their bodies through the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Just this month alone, I've had calls and texts. Pastor, we've been praying for months, and God has just given us a breakthrough. We didn't know where our next dime or next meal was going to come from to put a loaf of bread in our cupboards. But I'm here to proclaim by the authority of the name of Jesus. Money came in unexpectedly. All the bills are paid. God did not just do twice, but he did tenfold what he said he would do. People are being healed by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say it right now. Families are being restored in the name of Jesus Christ. Strongholds are coming down in the name and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. People are being delivered by all manner of demonic control through the name of Jesus Christ. Use your authority right now. Say that name with authority. Pray with authority. Worship with authority. Stand up with authority. Come on, stir it up right now. Go ahead, just begin to worship God. Some of you haven't prayed with authority in so long, you forgot what it feels like. Come on, step into that. Just simply use the name of Jesus. Sometimes we've got to even get out of the speaking English and just start praying with groanings and travailings in the Holy Ghost. My God. Let's all worship him in this place right now. There's already a liberty that's moving in this place right now. I need some prayer warriors to worship God right now. Pray like you know how to pray. God bless your people. Listen, I'm tired of just trying to make friends with demons. I'm tired of trying to appease demons and devils that are not of God. Tired of people coming to me and say, well, here's the clinical terminology. Yes, I know that people get sick, and don't get me wrong. And yes, I know that people have different issues, but I also believe there's a spiritual content as well that can occur and cause similar actions, similar behavior. How many of you believe that the name of Jesus Christ is greater than any devil, any demon? How many of you feel like you got enough authority in your pinky? We got to get to that place as a church. When somebody walks in here, hallelujah, and they're possessed by devils, that we're not afraid and we're not awkward. We just know who we are. We are children of God who bear his name, and we have been given authority. We're the church. Oh, clap your hands and thank God you're a part of something that's powerful, that's real. I want the devil to know this morning that we're not living in fear of him. We're not afraid of him. Turn to someone, give him a high five and tell him you're a child of God. Oh, yeah. I don't have any problem with that. I'm not in fear of him. I'm not motivated by fear. I'm not walking around, what if the devil gets upset? I mean, there has to come a point in time when we stop trying to appease the adversary and start rebuking the adversary. I've walked in on some devils in my time. And generally, the first thing the devil's going to do or a demon is going to do is going to say, what are you here for? They're going to stand by. They're not going to move. They don't want to be, listen, they're not wanting to be exposed. You walk in there and you recognize there's an adversary there and there's a devil there. You do what's supposed to happen. You rebuke it by the authority that you have, and that is in the name of Jesus Christ. I know this may seem extreme for some here, but that's how far maybe we've gotten from this reality, that there is a very real spiritual world swirling around about us. When you walk into some place and you feel demons pressing against you, you feel the lure of the adversary trying to drive you into some kind of temptation. Let me just tell you right now, you've got the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Say it, use it, apply it, because it works. I walked into a room. Someone was on her deathbed, and they would only be given not even hours, but minutes to live. I walked in. There was so much fear in that place. You could cut it with a knife, Brother Wrench. As I walked in, the first thing I did was not lay hands on that individual. The first thing I did was to say, I take authority over fear in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the very first thing I did. And I'm going to tell you something. God arrested every spirit of fear. Then I laid my hands on that individual, and she recovered from that deathbed. I'm telling you, my God can do anything. We've just got to get our spiritual sensitivity back where it needs to be as the church. Come on, we're more than just programs and more than just fundraisers. We're more than just getting togethers. We've got to have the authority, or we're wasting our time. There's people in this room that need a miracle. We've got to have the authority in Jesus Christ to pray over them and for them to be with it. Come on, lift up your hands and worship Jesus. Get your mind on him. If you got to repent, then repent. The devil has no dominion in this church. He has no authority in this place. Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know. I want him to know the church. I want him to know a Craig Bulgren. I want him to know a Darren Miller. And when you start praying, all of a sudden they say, we got to go, guys. Oh, God already knows me, but I want the adversary to know me as well. You're not playing with some sissy church. You're not playing with some wimpy saint of God that you're not messing around with. You're not playing games with somebody that just shows up and just kind of hangs around. No, I want him to know who he's messing with. He's messing with the church of the living God. And we have been given authority and power over all the power of the adversary. We've been given power and authority over all his power. I want the devil to know who we are, because we know who he is. But more importantly, we need to know who we are. Somebody needs to say it. I know who I am. I know who I am. And I know who lives in me. I got a call a few years ago. A woman that was backslidden, her children both backslidden, used to come to this church 40 years ago. Get a call. Pastor Bulgren, yes, there are demons and devils in our house. We have been given to drugs, and we have been given to alcoholism. And I don't know how it happened or the exact day, but we've got devils. We were tormented. It's affecting our flesh. It's affecting our minds. It's everywhere throughout this house. Would you please come and would you please pray? I like it when I know ahead of time what I'm getting into, you know? I said, okay. I said, I'll go. I said, I'm bringing somebody with me. So I called Brother Carson. I said, from his office, I said, come on down. I said, we're going to go pray for somebody. I said, as a matter of fact, we're going to go fight some devils. I said, are you ready? Well, sure, Pastor, for sure. Yeah, yeah. I said, come on down, let's go. We had a word of prayer. We drove over there. I said, the first thing we have to do is recognize who we are and our position in God. That is critical when you go into spiritual warfare. You have got to know who you are, because the devil is working overtime trying to convince you and I that we are nothing, that our prayers really will not be answered. Why even pray in the middle of the night when your little child is sick? Why even go to church? Why even intercede? Why fast? Why cooperate? Why be a part? Why worship? I'm going to tell you why. Because he knows the authority and the power when we recognize who we are. Do you know who you are? I said, when we get there, we got to know who we are in God and that we're covered. And greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. I said, you ready? Let's go. We went in that house. As soon as you walked in, it hit you. The stench. Spiritual darkness has a smell. I know. You may think it's crazy. It wasn't just dirty socks laying around. There was a stench in there. I walked in there. We open up the door. They're crying. Two of the kids were in corners. Just trembling, shaking. We walked in there. Immediately the Lord spoke to me and said, it's because of the demons that's not only on them, but in them. There's oppression and then there is possession. Because anytime you open the lid to your spirit, you better watch out. That's why we don't mess around with false doctrine. That's why we don't give ourselves to all this junk out there in mainstream religion. Because the moment you open up the lid onto your spirit, you... I don't know what they were doing. Drugs and alcohol, you name it. We walked in there and all of a sudden I said, okay. I said, we're going to pray. I said, we're going to pray for authority for these things to leave this building. My first question is, are you willing to let them go? Because early in my ministry in the church, there was a woman who came up. She was demon-possessed. She was playing around with all this occult and satanic stuff. Folks, this stuff is real. I'm just going to say. She comes up. Her family was with her. One was her mom, another one was a sister, and drags her to the altar, basically pulling her up there, and she's fighting the whole way. Get up there, and all of a sudden we start praying. Laid our hands on her. And the question was asked to this woman, basically speaking to the devils inside of her too. We asked her the first question, and that was simply this. Do you want to be delivered of these devils and these demons inside of you? She screamed this blood-curling scream, screaming no. And all of a sudden, the demonic spirit in her body spoke out and said, you can't have her. You can't have her. Well, we got two problems here. Number one, the individual was not willing to relinquish the spirit. Therefore, that spirit remained in her. I don't care how much authority and power we had, unless Jesus decided to do something different, but that woman was not set free because she was not willing to be set free. I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't matter how many demons you have. If you're willing to be set free, you can be set free. Look no further than the maniac of Gadara. I have no idea why I'm preaching this morning, but God does. So let's listen up. Over thousands of demons, some say 2,000, some say 6,000. I say one is too many. As soon as he sees Jesus getting off, disembarking off of that ship, he gets down on the ground. The Bible says that demoniac of Gadara, filled with thousands of demons, runs to Jesus Christ, falls down at his feet, and begins to worship him. I've said it 100 times. I'm going to say it 101 times. Listen, if a man filled with thousands of demons, Brother John, can worship Jesus Christ, what's my excuse? Come on, we don't have demons in us. He ought to be all praise on our lips. We ought to rise to our feet so easy. We ought to praise him in his presence. It ought to be just spontaneous. Oh, but the weight of flesh is bearing too many people down. Hallelujah. Come on, do you know who you are? Do we know who we are? So my question was to them, do you all want to be set free? I established something. I said, I cannot do it. Brother Carson could not do it. But Jesus Christ can. I'm going to say, this is how it's going to go. First of all, do you want to be set free? All three of them said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I said, okay, I want you to get in this living room. Let's get in a circle. We're going to pray right here. No show, not all this silliness. We're just going to make it plain, and we're just going to say it. I didn't have to scream to the top of my lungs. I didn't have to work up a lather. I didn't have to do a bunch of incantations. I just said, Lord, you see the souls that are here right now. You see these individuals who want to be set free from these demons. And so by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, we serve notice to every devil and every demon that is in these individuals to set them free. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I kept saying that three or four more times, in the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, it was like a bomb blew off in the center of us all. All of a sudden, they're all standing in the corners, and they're delivered from those demons. Their countenance changed, and now every one of them are speaking in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. They prayed back. I'm telling you, who are you today? Who are we today? I know who I am. I'm a child of God, and I've been deputized with authority. So pray like it, worship like it, live like it. Come on, somebody praise the Lord all over this building right now. Somebody say something in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, somebody worship God in the Holy Ghost right now, like you have authority. Go ahead, worship Jesus, somebody. Worship. Somebody worship the Lord right now. Thousands of demons are no match to Jesus Christ when he speaks, because he has authority. And we know that that demoniac of Gadara, the Bible said thousands of demons in him. And all Jesus said was, okay, everyone out. Cast them into swine. And the man who was naked, living among the tombs, cutting himself. Folks, that's a spirit. I need somebody to lift up your hands and pray right now, because I just hit it right in the face. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling an overwhelming strength in this place right now. Come on, don't take it from me. You feel it too. Come on, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you feel it too. There's been something shifting right in this place right now. Yes, we are the church. We have authority in this city. Come on, let's worship everyone in this place. Begin to magnify him. Worship him. Glorify him. That's what demons are supposed to do. They're supposed to leave immediately. Lift up your hands if you're being oppressed, if you're being tormented by something in your mind. Lift up your hands and surrender. Run to Jesus Christ. Go ahead. You can run to this altar right now if you want to be set free. I'm not talking about a game. I'm not talking about pretend. I'm not talking about a wish. There's authority and enough people in this place that will agree together with me that you can be set free. Come on, there's some ancient spirits in this place. It's got a hold of some minds. You're trapped. You feel like you're in a prison. It's time for you to be set free. In Jesus' name, your best days are ahead of you. Don't succumb to the spirit and the lies of the adversary. You don't have to live the rest of your life in addict. You don't have to live the rest of your life in fear. You don't have to live the rest of your life going to bars just to escape the pain of reality.
Go ahead. I need some worshipers in this place right now. Who are we? Are we the church? Go ahead, cultivate the Holy Ghost, somebody. Come on, we're going to stay right here.
Come on, after those demons were cast out of him, the Bible says he's sitting there, calm, peaceful, in his right mind, and he was now clothed. My God, in the name of Jesus. If yourself or you know someone that needs set free, I want you to come up here. And if you believe that God can set them free, heal them, deliver them, come on, demonic controls over their life, get up to this altar and pray like you have never prayed before. Lift up your hands. I did not come to candy coat anything today. I'm sorry. I didn't come to play games. I've come to share with you what God has given me. If we're the church, then let's be the church. Let's know who we are in Jesus Christ. It's time to start walking through our homes, laying our hands on the walls, praying with authority. I know who I am, therefore I pray this way. I'm nothing without Jesus, but with him I can do all things. Come on, intercede for someone then.
My God.
I want our ministry team up here. Brother John, Brother Rance, come on up here. Brother Fulan, ministers, go ahead, start laying your hands on people. Agree together with them. Take them by the hand and hold it in the air and say, I agree in Jesus' name. Discouragement's not from God, it's a spirit that ties itself to circumstances. When you're low on faith, God is a God of encouragement. Come on, don't be lost. Don't let yourself be lost. Pray until you pray through. Ministers, as you lay your hands on people, pray for them. Pray with great authority in the name of Jesus. Come on, I need a church that knows how to reach out to God right now. I need a church that knows how to seek after the Lord. Come on, feel after him, somebody. Feel after him. Feel after him. Get in that realm. Oh, God, help us that the spiritual realm is not an awkward place for us right now. Oh, God, bear fruit in this altar right now. Let men and women be set free in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody, pray with authority. Authority in Jesus' name. Oh, God.
Why don't you bind together with someone, a friend or a loved one? Bind together with them right now and pray with authority. Somebody lead the prayer. Somebody worship in authority. Hear the name of Jesus. Let your spirit prevail. Hallelujah. Come on, is this an apostolic Pentecostal church or not? Hallelujah. Use the authority. Hallelujah. Let's sing it to the Lord as we worship and pray until you feel the restraining. Live from your spirit till you feel the chains popping loose from your body and your mind in Jesus' name.
Now there's breakthrough. Now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same. You hold redemption. Made accusers drop their soul. Showed us mercy with your mighty miracles. Now there's breakthrough. Now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same.
Now we proclaim
in Jesus' name. Freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same.
Now we proclaim
in Jesus' name.
Let our walls fall down
in Jesus' name.
And stronghold break
in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now we are healed
in Jesus' name. Made a fool of death and grave. Oh, King Jesus, you make royals out of slaves. Now there's breakthrough. Now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same.
Now we proclaim
Jesus' name. Death and grave. Oh, King Jesus, you make royals out of slaves. Now there's breakthrough. Now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same.
Now we proclaim
Jesus' name.
Oh, victory. We stand in authority. All for your glory. For your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord. We walk in your victory. We stand in authority. All for your glory. For your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord. We walk in your victory. We stand in authority. All for your glory. For your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord. We walk in your victory. We stand in authority. All for your glory. For your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord. We walk in your victory. And we stand in authority. All for your glory. For your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord. We walk in your victory. We stand in authority. All for your glory. For your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord.
And just let there be worship, genuine praise unto Jesus Christ right now. Everyone, just worship Him. Whether you're on the platform or in the altar or in your seats, just lift up your voice, your hands, and say the name of Jesus Christ. God, cover your people today. Hallelujah. Amen. There's an anointing that has been released in this altar area today. And so start using that anointing as you pray. Start believing God like you have never believed before. One thing that I've learned, now listen, I'm going to save you 4 years of Bible college right now. Is that all right? Turn to someone, give them a high five, say, that sounds like a good deal. Here it is. The closer you get to Jesus Christ, the more authority you have. There you go. It's really not that complicated. The closer you get to Him, the more time you spend with Him, the more authority you will have in Him. Praise God. He wants to come back tonight. Exercise this authority throughout the day, in your prayer time, throughout the week. I want you to make friends with someone, greet someone in the Lord. Praise God. We have the authority in Jesus Christ, don't we?